It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a new regime led by Antonio Pierce, a former player who's won a Super Bowl.
Our vision is clear. Win a division.
He's the right guy at the right time for this job. Right guy, right time to get the Raiders back, not to greatness, to the playoffs.
Our intention of how we play, the execution of our play, the mindset of our team, that's what I'm looking for.
I would love to see Antonio Pierce have the opportunity to coach this Raider team. I think he deserves it.
JT the Brick.
This coach wants to be more physical. He wants to put his hands on players.
You got the Jordan rules, and I'm calling it now from now on, as long as I'm here, the Patrick Mahomes rules.
I like when the head coach says this. I'm a season ticket holder.
Squeeze him by the throat.
Antonio Pierce wants to get the black hole back to where it was in the Coliseum in Oakland. Let's help him.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, in the studio today, no live stream. Computer is almost bought and ready to roll for next week. Hope everybody's doing well. Welcome into the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. in Vegas. We're on the Raiders mobile app, wherever you can download, stream us, and we appreciate the fact that you come here every day to get your content for the Raiders and hopefully other sports talk, as we are a fast-paced two-hour show. And we love it. We love our partners. We love our listeners. We love the opportunity to be here for the Raider Nation. And hopefully you got a lot to say, because it's that time of year. Ran into Gooch, a great, great jock, a disc jockey, sports guy. Ran into him in the parking lot. And he was looking at me, man. Hey, man, it's hard, huh, JT? How you getting through this, man? What's going on? What's up with the quarterbacks? We spoke for about 5 minutes in the parking lot, and we had a good conversation. That's how I prep for the show. I speak to other people, talk to other people, and try to get an idea of what they are thinking. And then I frame my opinions, and they could be right or wrong, and I want to get you to react to it, and we try to get through this together. Okay, it's not brain surgery. It's not politics. We're not trying to solve the world's problems. I'm just trying to have fun in sports. I'm one of the last few sports talk hosts left who does sports. I know it's very cool to not talk sports and to try to do other things. We will do that today. My annual Oscar picks with Lights, Camera, Jackson. Guy started as a movie review kid at the age of 7 with Jay Leno and Regis Philbin. And now he's getting up there in age. He's in his 20s, and he's one of the best. 1:30 Pacific, Lights, Camera, Jackson and his Oscar picks. And we're going to talk about the movies for a little bit. We're going to get into the movies, the Oscars. I love movies. And it's one of the only times a year I talk about things other than sports. And I think it's good. People ask me to do more of that. I like to keep it to sports. But today we bend the rules a little bit. And if you like movies, this kid will come in and he will fill out your Oscar presentation, set up your party. He'll tell you all the winners. He's incredible. He's unbelievable. He's entertaining. He'll join us at 1:30. And we got a couple other guests that we're working on. I reached out, and we are going to get a good one, a couple of good ones. Jared Bell from USA Today, but Benjamin Albright. Benjamin Albright covers the Broncos nationally, about as good as anybody. Reached out to him yesterday about getting into Russell Wilson and what that contract looks like and what could happen there. We're brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue. They will get you set up. You will have a great time with PTs because they have half-price drinks during happy hour. What more do you want in this town? Everything's going up in price. Everything in PTs gives you two happy hours, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. Also, the Strat. Formerly the Stratosphere, now it's the Strat, and we'll be there for some March Madness, and that is coming up here in a little bit. So that's where we're going today. The quarterbacks lead, and we're going to talk about the quarterbacks until the Raiders select one. You hear me? We'll talk about the quarterbacks until the Raiders select a veteran free agent, or they get a quarterback in the draft that they're pick at number 13, or they trade up to try to get a pick overall. That's what we're going to talk about. That's the focus of the show. I'm good with it. I'm trying to keep an eye on all the options here, even though people are picking away at my show like a carcass on the beach of a seagull that's been laying out there. Everything I say, they're hanging on the words of the internet, thinking I'm a spy, and I'm going to try to blow up the Jaden Daniels deal, or I'm a real big fan of Russell Wilson, or all this. Man, it's been interesting. So my day today started out amazing. I spoke to Bonanza High School, their journalists and their editors and their video department today. Two classes. Man, kids get up early for school, man. Ooh. I mean, I was in first period and second period at Bonanza High. in a really nice classroom where some students there, and there were students there in 10th, 11th grade and seniors who I got a chance to talk about my book because it's Nevada Reading Week, The Handoff. So I wrote a book called The Handoff about my mentor, Andrew Ashwood, in radio, what happened with our relationship life and when he picked me to be his chemo partner. And the book did really well, and they wanted me to come and speak on the book, so I did it in two periods. But I was very inspired. My wife came with me, and she's a former teacher. She's taught and got a master's degree in education, and she taught for most of her life. When I met her, she was the teacher. Anyway, she was in the room, and when we walked out afterwards, I was so inspired talking to high school kids about their future. I really were, because they are in a classroom that they're going to have a podcast project. They're doing video editing, and there was a whole bunch of computers in the room, and these kids at Bonanza were asking me great questions, not about how to get into the media, what's a podcast, what's it like, what happens if I'm going to build a topic, and some really good stuff after I spoke. And I walked out of there with my wife and said, man, these kids are special. These kids in high school, they get the world right in front of them. Some are not going to go to college. At Bonanza, some will go to college, some will go to community college, some might go to the Ivy League, but they are all really interested in what we had to say, and I was interested in what they had to say because these kids who were 15, 16, 17 years old, I asked them to raise their hand, half of them had a YouTube channel. Half of them had a YouTube channel. They all were on TikTok, they're all on Instagram, and they all understood that this only came about 5 or 10 years ago. I said, man, I went to high school in the 80s, man. 80s? We didn't have phones. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have a computer. We didn't know what a computer was. Nothing. And look where you guys are going to go. And they really got it. They were excited. And I said, look, man, you might not be behind the microphone. You might be in front of it. You might be a camera person. You might be an editor. You might be the guy that fixes the computers and the TV cameras when they break. And they all had some really cool things to say. And again, as I was talking to my wife as we were driving home this morning, these kids had a lot tougher than I did, man. They went through COVID. They lost their friends, some of them during COVID in regards to having interaction with them. And they have to deal with social media, which I didn't have to deal with in high school and college. And I don't know how these kids deal with it. Some of them get bullied. Some of them get pressured. They're looking at their phones a lot. They're getting all their information on the phone. But I was inspired because a lot of these kids want to do great things in life. So I would encourage anybody who can hear my voice, if you get an opportunity to really back a kid, mentor a kid in high school, have an opportunity to speak to a class, whatever you do, you can be a police officer, you can work construction, whatever you do, get a chance to get in front of young people and speak to them. And, you know, the moral of my story about the handoff, the book I wrote, is the same thing. When one door closes, a better one will open. And what I said at the end is I told them all to open up their phones. At the end of the presentation in both periods, I said, open up your phones, and by the end of the day, I want you to call someone that you haven't talked to in a long period of time because you had a fallen out. Could be an aunt or an uncle or a friend or a former relationship, you know, friend of yours that was in elementary school that you went afray and the relationship isn't there. And take the high road and reach out to that person and start that relationship up again. And a lot of kids made that connection with me today. So I had a great day today before the start of the show because I was in a room, couple of different rooms with high school kids who have the world in front of them. And every generation from the greatest generation, Gen X, Gen Z, everyone has issues, man. We all had issues in life. Some kids grew up during war, during depression, during a real estate crash. Their parents passed away. They lost their jobs. But the kids that are living here today, man, they got it tough. They do. They got a lot going on, man. And a lot of it has to do with social media and the pressure that they're under. And I was inspired today talking to the students at Bonanza High School. They made my day. So today I'm playing with house money because I get to come in here and I told these people, if you're going to listen to me or watch on YouTube, I don't know what I'm going to talk about today. Because a kid asked me, what are you going to talk about today? I said, I don't know. I said, I'm in the abyss. I'm in this area, this really weird area with the Raiders where there's nothing actual concrete to talk about. I don't like that. I like being tremendously prepped and prepared to do my radio shows. I don't like throwing darts up against the wall and picking topics. And we're in that window with the Raiders for the only time this year because the franchise tag, the deadline ends today, and then the free agency's coming, and then the draft. And after that, we're going to have another dead zone in July when the coaches go away, the players go away. It's the last time until they come back for training camp. But we're going to know who the draft picks are. We're going to know who the free agents are. We're going to know who gets cut. Today, I don't know. Today, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I don't know who's there. I don't know who's getting let go. I don't know who's going to come back. I don't know who's going to get whacked. I don't know anything. I don't like that. I don't enjoy coming in and talking nonsense about things that I'm not positive about. When I do the postgame show and the Raiders win or lose, I'm positive. I have the stats. I have the quarterback rating. I have the turnovers in front of me. Pretty easy. I talk about what happened in the game. Now we are reaching. We are hoping. Some are begging. Many are panicking. And it makes for an uncomfortable situation for a lot of people. So we're going to get through this because it's not a real job. We're not putting out oil fires. You know, we're not doing anything serious here, but we're trying to do something that could get us all on the same page about what the Raiders should do. Every day I come in here, I tell you what I think they should do. Quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. I bring up Russell Wilson, and I'm dealing with a bunch of people that just cannot conceptualize getting Russell Wilson in the silver and black. They don't want to. They just dealt with Josh McDaniels, and most of them think they were right. Josh McDaniels wasn't a good fit. What am I going to tell someone? They were wrong? No, they were right. But you know, I'm going through this stage in my 26th season with the Raiders now that there are so many Raider fans that won't be moved off a topic of bringing in a non-Raider. But they were fine initially. Listen to this group that I put together today. Listen to this group from 2009. First round picks, 2009, number 7, Darius Heyward-Bey. 2010, Rolando McClain, number 8. 2013, in the years I don't mention, they didn't have first round pick. 2013, DJ Hayden, may he rest in peace, number 12. 2014, Khalil Mack, number 5. 2015, Amari Cooper, at number 4. How did we screw that up? Hey, Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, back to back. They're both pretty good. 2016, Carl Joseph, number 14 overall. We got the 13th pick this year. You want Carl Joseph? Nice guy. Once a Raider, always a Raider. 2017, Gerrion Conley, number 24 overall. How'd that work out? 2018, Colton Miller, number 15. Then 2019, Jonathan Abram, 27th overall. Josh Jacobs, 24th overall. Clelin Ferrell, 2019. Number 4 overall. 2020, number 19th overall, Damon Arnett. 2020, number 12 overall, Henry Ruggs. 2021, the 17th pick, Alex Leatherwood. 2023, number 7, Tyree Wilson. None of those guys were Raiders. None of them were Raiders. They were draft picks. You welcomed them in. Now you won't welcome in other people from other teams. You just don't want them. I got 2 hours to fill. I got a whole bunch of players here that might want to be Raiders. Oh, no, JT's not a Raider. Well, why not? Jim Plunkett played for New England and San Francisco. He was a Raider. Mike Haynes played for New England. He was a Raider. Charles Woodson went to the Green Bay Packers, came back. He was a Raider. But not now, man. You talk to Raider fans in 2024, they want their guys. They don't want other people, man. They want their guys. And don't we want to keep our guys and get better? So in regards to Russell Wilson, what's going to really be the reality litmus test for Raider fans, if this guy Russell Wilson goes to Pittsburgh and the Raiders don't want him, which is fine, they might not want him, but if he ends up going to Pittsburgh or Atlanta, I'm calling you Raider fans out who said he wasn't good enough to be a Raider. If he's good enough to be a Steeler, Steelers have had more success than the Raiders, more Super Bowls. If he's good enough to be a Steeler, he's not good enough to be a Raider? No, you're making it personal now. You're making it really personal. Starting to put out some feelers around with other people I know around the league, scouts, former GMs. Jaden Daniels will cost you 2 first-round picks. If you want him, you're going to have to give up 13 and 2 more first-round picks, most likely. Are you comfortable doing that? Most people seem comfortable. If you want to wait at number 13 and the good quarterbacks, the ones you know are really good, are going to be gone, do you want to stay at quarterback and go Bo Nix, Michael Penix? I don't think J.J. McCarthy will no longer be there at 13. I think he's going to go higher. And then the players, the latest news before I get out to the phone, 702-365-9200. The players that should be tagged, Josh Allen was tagged, the Jacksonville Jaguar linebacker, edge rusher. He'll earn $24 million on the tag in 2024. He had 17.5 sacks last year. That's more than Max Crosby. He was tagged. Brian Burns, the linebacker from Carolina, was tagged. Kyle Duggar, the safety from New England, was tagged. T. Higgins. The Bengals used their non-exclusive franchise tag on Higgins. And Higgins battled through injury last year, but he's a part of Joe Burrow. Justin Matabuki was the one player I wanted the Raiders to get at defensive tackle. He got the franchise tag, and he got the franchise tag today with Baltimore. Eric DaCosta of the Ravens, the general manager, believes they're going to continue to negotiate on a long-term deal. Legarius Sneed got the non-exclusive tag by the Chiefs. He can negotiate with other teams. And earlier today, Antoine Winfield Jr., he got the franchise tag from the Buccaneers. The safety set to earn $17.1 million on the tag coming up. Christian Wilkins is available. He was not tagged from the Dolphins. He's a free agent. If the Raiders get him at defensive tackle, he's a three-down defensive great player with Max Crosby, Kuntz, and Tyree Wilson. Game, set, and match. Game, set, match. You go get Christian Wilkins at defensive tackle, you don't got to draft one. You don't got to look for another one. You got a leader. He's right there next to Mad Max. That's pretty good. If you don't get him, you can go 13 and get a defensive tackle if the quarterback isn't there. So we're going to hit on the franchise tag later today. Josh Jacobs, obviously not franchise tag. What do you think happens with Josh? I'll reference an NFL.com article coming up this hour saying Josh Jacobs to the Cowboys is the best fit. Josh Jacobs to the Cowboys. Yeah, Tony Pollard's going to be gone. It's either Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, or Josh Jacobs, and Jerry Jones wants all of them. He's just picking between the one he wants because he wants to win the Super Bowl. So I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Jacobs got an offer from the Dallas Cowboys, but he can negotiate with the Raiders and maybe do a short-term deal here. Mike in Staten, Italy. Mikey, start us off there in New York. What's going on, Mikey?
Hey, JT, that's great going to talking to the kids. And that gives you a little inspiration going forward with all the negative stuff around us. Mm-hmm. I do it all the time going in. And for a lot of these inner city kids, when I go for them, and it's the first time they're talking to a police officer on a friendly basis. And you can't believe, like, 10 years later, they come up to me and they see me on the street. And I spoke to them at their high school, and now they're in the police academy. It's just that's awesome. And that is the future of media. I don't have to tell you just ask the Sports Illustrated writers that are out of business. It's definitely the future. Hey, JT, the first thing, if you ever hear somebody in Vegas say, hey, I just bet Moneyball to win the Oscar. It's illegal in America to bet on the Oscars. It's illegal. The only way you could do it is offshore, and, really? And obviously it's not legal in the thing. So, the second thing, JT, is I would love Wilson here. He got his comeuppance. He went to Denver thinking that he was just going to have the same success in Seattle. He wanted to run it his own way. He got it. You just need a game manager with this team. We have the weapons behind them. Listen, we'll figure out. I think Jack Jacobs is going to come back on a term with the wide receiver. I think you stay at 13. There's five plug-and-play left tackles in this draft. Mm-hmm. What do I know? Look at Leatherwood. We thought, me and you talked about him when we drafted him. We thought he was a can't-miss. And look what happened. These young men, you don't know what happens with. Look at it. The first pick, Williams. Didn't even want to take a physical. You're going to give the kid $70 million, and he's not even letting you do his medical stats. It's the world we live in. But, JT, what I wanted to talk to you about, Mike Evans signs that three-year contract at that money. What is going to be the quarterback threshold? Last year you went crazy. Daniel, and 100% right, the Giants signed Daniel Jones to that big annual salary of $38 million. That's going to, even though he flamed out, is going to look like a bargain. with this new salary cap, keep going up and wait for Apple and the Google bills to come in that they're going to pay these franchises. What is it, $50 million a year? Is Cousins going to get another three-year contract with $150 million guaranteed? It's just going through the roof, JT.
Thanks, Mikey. Yeah, there are a lot of rumors that the NFL is going to go to 18 games. So if it does go to 18 games, the salary cap's going to go up even more. Players are going to make more money. And the quarterback is going to roughly – the quarterbacks don't average $50 million a year. There's only a couple quarterbacks in that category, Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. So not all these quarterbacks are going to make it. But would you give Dak Prescott $50 million a year after what you've seen? I wouldn't. But the market's there for that. Because whenever you lose a quarterback, you have to replace him. And it costs a lot of money to replace a good quarterback because the next quarterback that comes in a lot of times isn't better than the one you had. You know, it's hard to get a better quarterback than Derek Carr. But Derek Carr, his road ran out here in Las Vegas. So you go back and you say, man, Aiden O'Connell isn't as good as Derek Carr. Brian Hoyer and Jimmy Garoppolo weren't as good as Derek Carr. What are we doing? Well, you're trying to get someone better than Derek Carr. That's what you're doing. That's why Jaden Daniels and Russell Wilson are in play. Because they potentially are going to be better than Derek Carr. The only thing I'll say again about Russell Wilson is this. I care about the image of the Raiders. The most important thing I care about is wins and losses. The second thing is what can I do on my small platform to protect Raider fans from getting heat from outside Raider Nation? I'm just telling you, if Russell Wilson is not looked at seriously here and teams that have been more successful than the Raiders are looking at him, there's going to be something to answer to. If you don't think that Russell Wilson, if Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce don't want him because they looked at the tape, and he had a really good year last year, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 90 quarterback rating. He was roughly the 12th to 14th best quarterback in all of football. Last I looked, there's 32 teams. So if the Raiders want to go down a different road than Russell Wilson, fine. But this is the only time in Raider history that Russell Wilson's free. Never been before, never will again. This is the one window that you can get him from 1.2. I thought it was 1.9. It's 1.2. Backup, not starting, backup slot cornerbacks make more money than that, and he's Russell Wilson. Kirk Cousins, Mikey just asked, what do you pay Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins likes guaranteed contracts. He wants guaranteed money for his family and kids, and he wants 3 years. I wouldn't give him 3 years. If he came to the Raiders and you give him a two-year deal, I think that Kirk Cousins would get the Raiders instantly in the playoffs. I think the only three quarterbacks that can bring the Raiders instantly to the playoffs next season. And let's take Aiden out of it for a minute. Let's take Aiden out. We're talking about outside quarterbacks. There's three quarterbacks that can take the Raiders to the playoffs next year. That would be Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, and Baker Mayfield. Those are the three. You get any one of those three, you're a lock. You're in the playoffs. You're a lock. You're in the playoffs. If Cousins walking out of the tunnel, Russell Wilson or Baker Mayfield, you are in the playoffs with Devontae Max. You're in. You get a wild card. You're competing for Kansas City for the division. Okay, if you get Jaden Daniels or Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, you got your guy to park to go to the playoffs for a long period of time, but not next year. Not next year. Then you're going to have Aiden as the starter, and Aiden might be able to take you to the playoffs. He won games down the stretch. I'd give the Raiders a puncher's chance to get to the playoffs, but I'm not going to guarantee it. I guarantee it. If you bring in those three veteran quarterbacks and you don't have to spend a lot of money on one or two of them, because Baker Mayfield and Cousins are going to cost a lot of money. Russell Wilson won't. Then you can use the rest of the money on free agency. And you can still be pretty bold in the draft and trade up and go get the guy you want. Nick in Long Island. Always good. My home dirt. Go ahead, Nick. What's going on?
Not much, JT. I got 2 points to make. I just wanted to touch real quick first on Russell Wilson. You just pretty much said what I was going to say about him. 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and 3 rushing touchdowns. The Raiders, on the opposite of that, got 20 touchdowns and 18 interceptions, out of, including Jacoby Myers. So if the Raiders got that play out of Russell Wilson in 2023, they're a playoff team. So if they can't trade up, there might not be a team willing to trade down for them. You sign Russell Wilson at the vet minimum. I mean, that's a no-brainer, probably. I mean, you bring Jacobs back, you get the strong running game.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What do you mean no-brainer? Raider Nation hates the guy. I'm in the heart of the Raider Nation. 90% of the Raider Nation hates Russell Wilson.
Yeah, these are the same people that were crying about it. I'll segue now into my next point. These are the same people that were crying for 2 weeks about the Chiefs using our locker room, and now about 4 hours ago on Twitter, I don't know if you saw this, Mike Garofalo dropped a bomb that Chris Jones is coming to the Raiders if he doesn't sign with the Chiefs. And then Chief fans are going crazy about it. They told Chris Jones on Twitter, if you go to the Raiders, you're dead to me. And he replied back to them with a handshake, like deal emoji. So these Raider fans, they don't want Broncos, they don't want Chiefs. Rodney Hudson worked out pretty well for us too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take credit. If Raiders get Chris Jones, forget it. I mean, that would be incredible.
It would be. Thanks for the call, Nick. And the best part about Chris Jones, if the Raiders can pull him away from Kansas City, on top of him being a Raider, is he doesn't play for Kansas City anymore. That's the most important thing. Get Chris Jones, Legarius Sneed, get as many players out of Kansas City as possible. And I don't think that's going to be easy to do because, for me, Andy Reid has the best pitch I think he's ever had, the best pitch. The pitch to all of his players is, give me one more year. Just give me one and we'll go three-peat. We'll go three-peat and be the greatest team of all time. There'll be no talk of the 18-0 Patriots. They lost the Super Bowl. There'll be no talk of the 72 Dolphins. There'll be no more talk of the Packers Super Bowl 1 and 2, Bart Starr. The greatest football team ever assembled will be the Chiefs if they win 3 Super Bowls in a row. We have to stop that. We are the front line of the Raider Nation. We have to do everything to keep them out of our nightclubs, to keep them out of our city, and to make sure that they're not wanted here in Las Vegas. I think we all agree on that. 702-365-9200. Benjamin Albright's going to join us in a little bit on exactly what's going on with Denver. I love the fact that Denver is hemorrhaging now. I love the fact that Denver is a mess. That's a good topic. I mean, we've beaten Denver, what, 8 in a row? I think it's 8 in a row. And now the team's worse than they've ever been. Does that mean we got 2 wins on deck? They don't have a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback. It's not going to be Jared Stidham. They don't have a quarterback, and their team isn't very good, and we got them on the schedule twice. And I thought by now we wouldn't sweep them anymore. With all due respect to Sean Payton, I didn't think we'd start sweeping them forever and continue. And now we got a good chance to do it again. We got a good chance to split with Kansas City. We beat them last year. And I think Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers, it's going to take them a while to get through the salary cap and some of the issues we have. It's a great time to be a Raider fan, I think. I think we're right on the verge of being a perennial playoff team for years to come. But we got to thread the needle in free agency and in the draft. In Tom We Trust, Tom Telesco, fully backing him to figure out this first round and make a great decision for the silver and black as we continue. Tequila Commissario, the Ferrari of tequilas. Try it. The Reserve is the best of the best. The elite tequila. Price right for us all in Vegas. Tequila Commissario, Benjamin Albright on the Broncos next.
Pump back behind the Columbus net. They'll let the final 5 seconds tick off. The Blue Jackets have only won consecutive games 3 times this year. They've done it again. 5-2 in Chicago and now 6-3 at home against the Golden Knights.
Well, what's going on with the Golden Knights? What's going on with VGK? My level of concern now is registering on my concern playoff radar. What's going on here with the Stanley Cup champs? You do the games, Bobby. What the hell's going on out there, as Vince Lombardi would say? Can't beat Columbus? Look, you come back against Boston and play well and get a loss. That's one thing. This team better be careful because I don't care what place they come in. I need them in the playoffs. I need them getting healthier, but I'm getting concerned right now with the standings. Every day I hit refresh and they're going down, down, down. That's concerning to me.
It should be concerning to you. I'll tell you right now, the way this team looks, they're going to be a one and done. They'll make the playoffs, but they're not going to get past the first round. The two big problems we have here right now is mediocre goaltending,
okay,
and injuries. I mean, pretty much everybody, with the exception of Marchessault, has been out for an extended period of time this year.
Yeah, I'm looking at the conference standings here in the Western Conference, and I don't like what I'm seeing.
You shouldn't.
VGK is plummeting. Lost 3 in a row, 2-7-1 in their last games. With 73 points, they're only a point ahead of the Kings and the Predators. And now Vegas with 73 points is trailing Vancouver by 12 points. Winnipeg, Dallas, Colorado, Edmonton. This is getting dicey.
And the Thursday game is against Vancouver.
Yeah, well, good. I mean, this is we're the Stanley Cup champs. We're better than Vancouver when we're healthy.
But that's the thing. But that's the thing. They're just not going to. They're just not healthy. I mean, half your starting lineup is the Henderson Silver Knights at this point.
Yeah, I get it. And the team's got to get rolling here. If you talk hockey in town, come to me. I'm the only hockey show on at noon. Me, nobody else. So I'm the guy here in town that talks hockey at noon. Jump on board if you're concerned about VGK. 702-365-9200. So one of the quarterbacks that we're just taking a look at is Russell Wilson, because he could play on the veteran minimum, really stick it to the Denver Broncos, who owe him $39 million. I mean, his extension hasn't even kicked in. The first 2 years, his extension hasn't even kicked in when it comes to the Denver Broncos and what they owe him. Benjamin Albright, one of the best NFL insiders out there, KOA in Denver, all the national news he puts out here on the Denver Broncos, wanted to get him in today. Benjamin, thanks for coming on. And as I mentioned, between the general manager, the head coach, and the quarterback, former one, and Russell Wilson, who gets the most blame on the meltdown of this deal and how much the Broncos are on the hook for?
Well, I think I would take it as a triangle and make it a rhombus, because I would put new ownership on the hook as well. They pressured George Payton to get an extension done with Russell Wilson prior to Payton really wanting to get it done when they were just taking over as new owners. And so, you know, that's how that extension kind of got done before he ever took the field. George Payton certainly has his share of blame in this. I mean, you talk about a guy who gave up the farm to go get Russell Wilson at the time, pairing him up with Nathaniel Hackett, who was hired as an Aaron Rodgers lure, and then that fell through. You know, we all saw the Hackett year of coaching. That didn't work out. Then you see Russ and Sean Payton, and Russ kind of he didn't really work well within the structure of what Sean Payton did. But when they cut him loose in the fourth quarter, he kind of balled out. And you know, I thought he had some pretty good numbers. He was top five in the NFL in touchdowns prior to getting benched. But you know, I mean, it's a combination of a head coach that doesn't want the quarterback, a quarterback that cannot play in structure, a general manager that jumped the gun and overpaid to get a quarterback out of necessity, and it's just a comedy of errors all the way around.
Let's stay on this, on why you don't believe Russell can play in structure. He did throughout his life and really understood the concepts of offense. And then when a play broke down, he's one of the best I've ever seen on the pocket breaking down. I wouldn't put him at Mahomes' level, but his ability outside the pocket and to make every throw. You know, the chemistry of Peyton and Russ obviously wasn't there. I don't think Peyton liked him a lot. Coming off Drew Brees, who was a much more likable guy. But what can we point to prove at that Russ couldn't work with Sean Payton in a system? Was it practice? Was it meetings? What was it?
I think it's just Russ's approach to the game. I mean, Russ has a very narrow set of parameters in which he's a Hall of Fame worthy quarterback, and then there are other things that he just doesn't do well that some quarterbacks would consider basic. I mean, Russ can barely throw the slant. Part of that is his height, you know, and a difficulty in seeing certain things. I mean, you kind of got to, as a receiver crossing the middle of the field, you got to turn your body back and flash the numbers so he can see you. And most of Sean Payton's offense is played 11 to 19 yards down the field between the numbers. And Russ, what Russ does is outside the numbers. He buys time with his legs, you pointed out, and when the play breaks down, gets a guy going north and hits him with the beautiful deep ball. But he's not a great intermediate passer. He's not great between the numbers, and that's most of where Sean Payton's offense is. And I think you're right about the other part of that is Sean Payton didn't personally like Russell Wilson, and that was part of it. You know, at the end of the day, he decided to move on. They're moving on. Some team is going to get Russ on a $1.2 million veteran minimum deal as the Broncos pay out the rest of his contract, and Sean Payton's going to get the opportunity to bring in whoever he wants.
Man, it's not like he has someone there. I followed Jared Stidham when the Raiders, same thing happened with Carr. They benched him. Jared Stidham, they benched Russ. Jared lost to the Raiders, and he's not the guy. So the fact that this takes a lot of balls for Sean Payton going forward, I get why he got rid of Russ. And it really cost a lot of money, and it could really hold back the team in the short term. But how much pressure does that put on the Broncos organization without a top 10 pick and not a lot to trade up with? Or am I seeing that wrong? Could they continue to blow up drafts in the future by moving up to 12 and try to get into the top 3 or 4?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I don't think they have the ammunition to get the top five. I mean, I just don't. Even mortgaging future drafts, I don't see it. It does put a lot of pressure on Sean Payton. I mean, this is his show now, for sure, and he's got to find his guy. And Sean's never you know, he's never developed a quarterback before. You know, the success that he's had has been with veteran guys who were developed elsewhere. Drew Brees was already Drew Brees before he got to New Orleans. Sean just let him throw, where Marty Schottenheimer didn't. So it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. Sean Payton has one game in his entire career that a rookie quarterback has started. That was Ian Book, because all of his quarterbacks in New Orleans had gotten hit the COVID protocols and were unable to play. So, you know, everybody looking at the draft, and I think they're looking at those quarterbacks, but that's not traditionally been Sean Payton's way. It's been with the veterans. So, yeah, I don't know. They don't really have the cap space to sign Kirk Cousins unless he goes out on a deferred veteran deal. You could get a cheap stopgap like a Jimmy Garoppolo or a Sam Darnold, but none of those options are really inspiring. And then if you can't get in the top five, like, what are you overdrafting Bo Nix at 12? I mean, it's a tough look. And so, Sean, they've really got some decisions to make and some things to figure out. And, you know, I don't know how they're going to do it. This year looks like it's going to be a very, very bad year for the Denver Broncos.
Benjamin Albright is our guest. What do you think, Russ, would be a decent fit? I'll throw out a couple of teams. Everybody seems to think Pittsburgh. But I'm hearing other people say that they want to give Kenny Pickett, who is a high draft pick, another year. It'd be fair to him. I don't think Russ should compete. I think if he goes to a team, he should start. Atlanta makes the most sense without diving into what Sierra likes or not. And then, look, man, I tell you, you've covered the Raiders versus the Broncos as long as anybody I know, and the Raiders have Aiden O'Connell. And if they were able to get something out of Russ for the minimum, like Denver's paying for everything and have Devontae Adams and Trey Tucker and Michael Mayer, and if they bring back Josh Jacobs on a deal, God, that Raider offense could be a lot better, I believe, because the numbers Russ put on in the second half of the year as the season was winding down.
Yeah, and you look what Luke Getsy did up there in Chicago. Russ can execute most of that, most of the stuff that he was doing for Justin Fields. So I think, you know, the Raiders certainly jump out as a, hey, you can get a very inexpensive quarterback. Again, he's going to cost $1.2 million vet minimum. Talking to people close to Russ, Pittsburgh is a preferred destination. I say A, not B. They like Arthur Smith and think that he can kind of maximize what Russell Wilson does. He's the new offensive coordinator up there. Atlanta, you know, yeah, Ciara, you know, I think that going back home, that might be a thing for her, but I'm not sure that Atlanta wants to go that direction. I think they're looking for something a little more long-term. So I'm not sure Atlanta's going to go that way. And don't sleep on New England. New England is secretly lurking about this quarterback market. Nobody's talking about them. They got a ton of cash. And they might look into that. Alex Van Pelt's, you know, resurrected some careers before and done wonders with some of these quarterbacks, including Baker Mayfield back in the day. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what New England does.
Lastly, when you look at this quarterback market in the draft, can you just give us a hint of where you stand with most have Caleb number one, but Jaden Daniels and Drake May, and then the move to J.J. McCarthy? I think J.J. McCarthy would be the guy in Denver if he's there at 12, and I thought he'd be there at 12 before the combine, and now all this propaganda is going out that he might be a top 6-7 pick. Where do you stand with him?
Yeah, I heard that before the combine. I certainly heard that around when I was down there at the Senior Bowl. So, the McCarthy thing, I think he's going a lot higher than people project. I have him and kind of Drake May and Jaden Daniels on that same tier. Talked to a former general manager who said that he's got Keely Williams far and away number one, and then it's, you know, it's kind of dealer's choice number two between those three quarterbacks, and then you drop down another tier and you kind of got Bo Nix and guys like that after that. As far as the draft goes, I mean, just it's a pick your poison. You know, Washington with Cliff Kingsbury at OC, you could go Jaden Daniels. I mean, you look at the quarterbacks that Cliff has worked with before, kind of makes a lot of sense. Drake May, more of a throwback quarterback, big, tall, strong arm. I mean, he does have some athleticism, but maybe not as much as it's hyped up to be. So we'll see. He's got that North Carolina thing going against him right now, which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Same thing C.J. Stroud dealt with last year with Ohio State, where there hadn't been successful quarterbacks for a while coming out. So we'll see if he gets, you know, kind of tarred with that a little bit. But I think those four guys are going to go in the top 6, 7, 8 picks. And then, you know, after that, it's going to be kind of a scramble for what's left.
Always great content. Thank you. Always great talking to you. Have a great rest of the offseason.
Absolutely. Take care.
Thanks, Benjamin. Benjamin Albright there from KOA on a little bit of a deep dive on the Broncos. So I'm ready to move on from this Broncos stuff with Russell Wilson. I thought it was worthy of a day or two. As the franchise tag deadline is today, we'll get an opportunity to see what's going to happen next with Russell Wilson. But Russell Wilson's going to have a job. He's going to have a starting job. He's going to play for the minimum or close to the minimum. Some team is going to get Russell Wilson, not have to spend any money, not have to spend any money and use all that money to get better players. Sounds like a good formula. He's 35 years old. Some people think he's washed. Other people think he has some time left. The only thing I've been defending Russell Wilson with is his character and what he's done his entire life. For those who want to judge him pre-Sierra, post-getting married to Sierra, all that, what he is as a dad, you have no idea what type of dad he is. You have no idea what he does for charity work. It's all good. I think it's all really good what he does for charity work and all that. He's a Walter Payton Man of the Year, and he's a borderline Hall of Famer. If his career ended today, he's got enough playoff wins and stats and big moments to be in consideration for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If you were Russell Wilson, wouldn't you be pretty pissed off right now? Wouldn't you be pretty pissed off right now if you were Russell Wilson? Wouldn't you be a little bit humbled? Wouldn't you be in the gym? He looks pretty swole to me. The first thing I'd have him do is lose 10 pounds. I'd say drop 10 pounds. You got too much muscle. Get out there and work out with receivers and be ready to go. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks up close work really hard, and I think he's one of those guys who work really hard. But this is a moment in time where you cannot compare Russell Wilson to Jim Plunkett, who's a great comparison. Great comparison to Jim Plunkett. Jim Plunkett never had these stats, not even close to it, but Jim Plunkett, you know how many people would have said if Jim Plunkett played today after New England and San Francisco that he's washed? He's done. He was done. Quick reminder, he was finished until the great Al Davis said to him, Jim, I'm going to bring you in and have you rest and have you ready. And then Jim Plunkett was called on after the Dan Pastorini injury, called on with Mark Wilson looking over his shoulder. Plunkett called on to become one of the great Raiders of all time. So how could I compare Russell Wilson to Jim Plunkett? Easily. Plunkett's got two Super Bowls, a Super Bowl MVP. Russell Wilson's got two Super Bowl appearances, a Super Bowl victory. And I think they're both great quarterbacks. It took Jim a while to get going again. And then Jim Plunkett, later in his career, became an icon for this organization. And there's been other players who have also become icons for this organization who got their start elsewhere. I would rather have Jaden Daniels. And we'll do the JT list tomorrow. Because we got to give, Bobby, we got to give the websites their red meat. So I got to give them their red meat tomorrow. We'll have the JT top five quarterbacks that I would like in order to play for the Raiders, including Aiden O'Connell. Because, again, I want to make sure we're not stepping over any line with Aiden O'Connell. We're doing our job here. Aiden O'Connell's on the team. He's not going anywhere. He's either going to start or be the backup. And other than that, we'll bring up some other quarterbacks that we feel are good. I got the YouTube, Bobby, going on the iPad just for a little bit here because my son's coming back from Dallas tomorrow on business and giving him the credit card to go buy a new computer. It's like you can buy lunch and a new computer for dad and set it up here. So we're trying to make this happen. Jarrett Bell from USA Today is going to join us here in a little bit. And then next hour, we're going to have Lights, Camera, Jackson Murphy on the Academy Awards. Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress. We'll go through all the nominees. I love movies. I love the Oscars. I love to debate who's going to win these awards. We do it one time a year. We'll do it in about 45 minutes on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Yeah, market, I don't know, but I do know there's just there's a lot of backs that are available this year. So I guess it remains to be seen, you know, what other people think. But the talent pool at that position in free agency is, you know, relatively high.
Turn It Up, L.A. Woman by Jim Morrison. God, what a great album. What great music. More Doors, Please. JT back, brought to you by Grimaldi's. My wife had one of her childhood friends over with her husband last night. We had Grimaldi's. My son picked it up. We had a great evening. Brooklyn Bridge pizza, salad, all of it at the house. Grimaldi's, best pizza I ever had. I asked my wife's friends, how do you like the pizza? She said, it's unbelievable. I can't believe it. I said, yes, it's Grimaldi's. The best pizza I ever had. We're up on YouTube Live. If you go to YouTube, JT the Brick YT, you can get into the chat. Where does Russell Wilson go? I'm getting a lot of that. Glenn Wheeler says, JT, talk about Caleb Williams and him not wanting to do any of the combine physicals. That is fake news. He didn't have to do any physicals or share his medicals because he's going number one. It's pretty easy. He's going to share his medicals with the Chicago Bears and the Washington Commanders and nobody else. Doesn't have to. When you're that lucky to go number one overall, you don't have to share squat with anybody. Now, Bo Nix and Michael Penix, especially Michael Penix. Michael Penix has got to walk around with an X-ray machine. Hey, look at this. Here's my shoulder. Here's my knee. I was hurt. I was hurt here. I was hurt at Indiana. I was hurt at Washington. He's got to share his medicals. I like what Caleb Williams did. Caleb Williams said that I don't have to do anything. I'm the best player. I'm going number one. He was very cordial. He was the last person to leave the combine. They said after the combine ended, Roma Duse stayed after for a little extra credit. But after the combine ended, that he went around and shook everybody's hands who worked on the field. Shook their all hands. Caleb Williams is a good dude. Is he a little bit, I don't know, is he a little bit cocky? Yeah, he's going to be an NFL quarterback. I hope he is. Caleb Williams doesn't have to share anything with anybody. He's going number one. He's a lock. So he just has to share with the Bears. And if you really want him, then maybe he'll share you his medicals too. But you have to prove you're going to trade up to get him. Raiders 66 in Vegas.
Hey, JT, how you doing? I know you're getting close to the top of the hour, so I'll try to make it quick. You hit the nail on the head with the Plunkett and Russ thing. Back in 78, Plunkett was done. And Al, you're absolutely right. Al said, Jim, come sit with us. Just take a year off and get better.
Mm-hmm.
And in 79, in 5 years' time, he won two Super Bowls for the Raiders. Russ said he wants to win two in the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe history repeats itself. Russell Wilson if he came to the Raiders, he would have a better team than he had last year with the Broncos.
Oh, the Broncos
and
stink.
Look at this.
The Broncos stink right now. They stink. Exactly. This could be the biggest blessing in disguise for Russell Wilson. He gets away from Sean Payton, who doesn't like him, and he goes somewhere, and it's probably not going to be the Raiders, but he's going to go somewhere where the coach adores him and wants to win, and the coach wants to save his job.
And he has done things that you need to do to compete in the AFC. He beat Kansas City last year. Mm. He beat Buffalo in Buffalo, and he beat the Cleveland Brown defense. Those are three teams you're going to have to get through if you're going to the playoffs in the AFC.
Yep.
Those are all positives for Russ Wilson, and I think the Raiders should take a good look. It's not going to cost anything. That way you can use the number 13 pick, get maybe that Brian Murphy from Texas.
Yes.
Solidify that defensive line, and maybe you trade back into the back end of the first round and get a Bo Nix or a Penix or something like that, and he can sit behind Russell Wilson. I think it's a great move, and I hope the Raiders take a serious look at it.
Yeah, thanks 66. Appreciate it. That's a really interesting point you bring up. If the Raiders get a veteran quarterback, say they get a veteran like Kirk Cousins, or they get a veteran Russell Wilson, I don't think they need to draft a quarterback. I don't. I don't think they need to draft a quarterback and wait and bench him. If Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins come here, I'd have Aiden O'Connell as the backup. I don't need to see another backup. I don't care about Bo Nix or Michael Penix on top of Aiden O'Connell. Now, if the Raiders don't get Russell Wilson and they're not able to get Kirk Cousins, then I would draft a quarterback and give up a lot to go draft one, and then I would have that player initially start behind Aiden O'Connell, but be ready to overtake Aiden when his time is right. I think that's rational, and that's the right thing to do there. As Raider 66 said, it would be great to get a quarterback before the draft and use that 13th pick on the Texas defensive tackle and let him start and play every down. I like that. That'd be really nice, but it's complicated. Go check us out on YouTube. Become a subscriber. JT the Brick YT. Hour number two, my Oscar nominations. They're out. Who am I picking to win all the categories at the Oscars? That's coming up in about 40 minutes.